Valdik. All right, Sichos Haran Os Ayin Hay. Rabbi Nachman is going to teach us a little bit more about how to daven tonight. Okay, the next couple of pieces in Sichos Haran are pretty long, you can see. If you have the Sefer, but you can see just on the page in front of you, it's very lengthy. A lot of Yesodos in Tefillah. And again, the goal is not just to read these words and then forget about them by the time we get to Mincha today, but the goal is to actually, like the Ramban, I'm sure many of us have read the famous letter of the Ramban, right? The Igaras Ramban, what does he say? He says at the end, Kasher Tokul Mena Sefer, whenever you get up from learning, Techapes Vasher Lamadata, contemplate, think about what you learned, and try to apply some of it to your life. Okay, so we're wasting our time, Mamish. Sounds like a crazy thing to say, but we're wasting our time if we're just reading Rabbi Nachman's words and not doing anything with it. That's chaval al zman. Okay, so let's learn and let's try to not only lilmod, but lilmod lishmor velasos. And the lamed, you know, teach breast of Torah to others. Okay, b'inyan atfila, with regards to davening. Sipa Rabbeinu Zal imanu harb. Rabbi Nachman spoke to us a lot about tefillah. And he warned us that a person needs lahachriach es atzmo. Hachriach means to make it necessary. But it means to force yourself. Right? Force yourself to daven with tremendous kavana. Dahainu, lekasher hamachshava el adibur bekesher amitz v'chazak, to attach yourself, to bind yourself, lekasher, to bind your mind to the words that you're saying in a very strong and fortified way. Shiyata ozno heitev heitev. Listen to the words coming out of your mouth. We're so bad at this. And we could be so good at this. But I'm going to be presumptuous and say we're so bad at this, because we are so bad at this. We're not paying attention to the words we're saying. Not the words that someone else is saying. We're not listening to someone else davening. It's our own words coming out of our own body, out of our own mouth. So strengthen yourself, says Rabbi Nachman. Become attentive. Pay attention. Attach yourself to the words you're saying. You're saying Rafa'inu. You're asking for health. You're asking for wisdom. You're asking for getting back to Yerushalayim. You're asking for Mashiach. Think about what you're saying. Shiyata ozno heitev heitev. Incline your... Yate means to incline. Incline your ear very, very much. V'yishma mashu medaber betfila. Listen to what you're saying. V'za ikar ha'tfila bekavana. And that's the essence of what Tefillah b'kavana is, to be attached to the very words that are coming out of your mouth. Turn to source number two for a second, because we always try to be makasher the inyanim that we learn to other tzaddikim who could help us to better understand, and especially if it's an idea that's very much makusher to the zman in which we're in. It's very much the inyan of Mar Cheshvan, and it's very much the inyan of Parshas Noach. The Chiddush HaYarim, there's a collection called Likutei HaYarim. So in the Chiddush HaYarim, in this past week's Parsha, on the pasuk that says that Noach is told to enter with his family into the Teva, B'Shem HaRabbanim, he brings B'Shem HaRabbanim. It's a Yesod from the Baal Shem Tov. Mor Einayim brings it from the Baal Shem Tov. Other tzaddikim bring it. B'Shem HaRabbanim, already earlier tzaddikim have told us, Ki Tevas Noach Hu Tevos V'Osios HaTorah V'Atfil. Teva means an ark, it means a boat. But a Teva also means a word. So the Teva of Noach, that every one of us has to live in, is the teva, are the words of our Torah and our tefillah, to believe in our Torah and to believe in our tefillah, and to be, like Rabbi Nachman says, mekusher to it, deeply connected to it. Sheyuchol kol adam lahachnis atzma b'chol teva mitoru tefillah. What does it mean, Noach is told to go with his family and to enter the teva? What does it mean to enter the teva? How do you enter a word? I know how to enter a boat. How do you enter a word? How do I put myself into the word? Right, to put myself into my Torah and my tefillah. I shouldn't be disconnected. When I'm reading the Gemara, I should be immersed in the Gemara. When I'm davening a Shmona Esrei, right, so I should be deeply attached to the words that I'm saying. And by doing that, by making that connection to Hashem through Torah and tefillah, so that I'm saved from all sorts of Hester, all sorts of concealment. Hashem feels far from me. Hashem feels distant from me. I'm not feeling connected, because you're not even trying to connect to the things that you're saying. You're not connected to your own words. Ksiv Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba, left-hand paragraph, it says in Mishlei that Eitz Chaim Hi L'machazikim Ba, Yesh Lefarish Al Pi Medrash Parsha Shlach, a beautiful medrash. We spoke about this medrash once, I think last year. A medrash in Parsha Shlach. Mashal Le'echad Shayanofa L'soch HaMayim. Right? Talk about a marble. Once upon a time, there was a Jew who fell into the water. And he was drowning. Hoshita kabarnit es hachevel. The captain of the ship lowered down a rope. Va'amrlo, it's a medrash in Parsha Shlach, medrash Rabbah. The captain of the boat lowered a rope down to this guy who was flailing his arms in the water. Va'amrlo, tfos hachevel azeh biyadcha. Grab onto this rope, hold on tight, ba'al tanicheu, and don't let go of it. Because your life depends on it. Shim tanicheu ein lecha chayim. If you let go of this rope, you're a dead man. So that's the intention of Mishlei when it says Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim la. The way the Rav Chaim Volozhiner gave this mashal, again, really borrowing this idea from the Medrash Rabbah, imagine a person is on a boat, right, and the boat is shattered. Right? A huge wave comes and the boat cracks in half, a wooden boat, and it's broken into these little planks of wood, and there you find yourself in the water. And you're hoping that someone's going to come to your rescue. And you're trying to stay afloat. And all of a sudden you see one of these planks of wood float by from your broken boat. And you grab onto it. And you're holding onto that piece of wood for dear life. So Chaim Volozhiner explained, the Chiddush HaRambam is saying a similar yesod. That is the Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba. It's not Eitz Chaim Hila Machazikim Ba that the Torah is very chashuv and the Torah gives us life and we have to learn Torah. You have to picture yourself like you're drowning. Olam Hazeh, the Teva of Olam Hazeh is a Lashon of Litboa, you're drowning. Teva and Litboa are very similar words. A person is drowning in this world, so you need to grab onto the Eitz Chaim. You need to picture it as what? You need to picture it as a piece of wood, right, that could save your life when you're drowning in the water. And if you hold on, you'll survive. So again, the same way that a person would be clutching that rope or clutching that piece of wood with all of his being, so too, when we learn Torah and we have our sitter in our hands, it can't be that there's this disconnect. We have to clutch it, we have to hold on to it, we have to enter into the teva, enter into our words all the way. Yeah.
What you're saying, like, it's not just, Hashem saved me, now I'm in his hands.
Right.
Like, that little plank of wood, like, you could go under, yeah.
Right, that's right, that's right. That's right. But it has to be with that hope that if I'm clutching, if at least if I'm holding on to this with all my strength, right, I can at least hope. I still need to get out of the water. I can't spend the rest of my life holding onto this plank of wood, whatever that means in the Mashal Nimshal. Right, but that's what says Rabbi Nachman. Going back now to Rabbi Nachman, that's the inyan of Tefillah B'Kavanah. Okay, to attach yourself deeply, your mind and your mouth should be connected to each other. The peh and the lev should be connected to each other. Okay, second paragraph. People think that kavana means davening with all sorts of deep kavanas. Rabbi Nachman did not encourage us. He did not encourage us to daven al pi the kavanos of the Arizal. Afilu la'osan ha'anashim shayu londim kisve'ari apik pukudaso. Even those tzaddikim, those talmidei of Rabbi Nachman, who he encouraged to learn kisve'arizal, he didn't necessarily encourage them to practice it during their davening. Interesting. Va'amar, she'ikar shleimas hatfilahu, baruch ata Hashem, v'chulu v'chulu, kipshuto. The essence of tefillah is what? Is baruch ata Hashem. Is being able to say the words kipshuto and to understand the words that are coming out of your mouth. V'ze'ikar kavanas hatfilah she'echavein perish hamilos. To just understand. Kavana means be mindful of the words, understand the words. Hear what you're saying, think about what you're saying. Just simple, pashup shot. The yishma heitev mashu omer, just hear what you're saying and mean it. Let's talk about Baruch Atah Hashem. Our Rebbe last year, right, the Avodas Yisrael, told us many times about the schus of being able to say Baruch Atah. Right? We saw the Piyazetzim, we saw the Yishkodesh this year. He quoted a little bit from that. The power of being able to say Baruch Atah Hashem. The schus of saying Baruch Atah Hashem. So look at source 4 and 5 for a second. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Akavya ben Mahalalel Omer, histakel b'shlosha dvarim ve'en ata bo lidei avera. Think about three things and you won't come to do any averas. Da me'ayin basa, ula'an ata holech, lefnei mi'ata osa litein din v'cheshva. Know where you come from, know where you're going, and know before whom you're going to stand in judgment. Okay? It's It's a pretty heavy Mishnah. And then the Mishnah goes on and explains, where do you come from? You come from a drop of seed, a putrid drop. Where are you going? You're going, your body's going to be thrown back into the ground where it's going to rot. And who are you going to have to stand before in judgment? Before the King of all kings. There was a tzaddik, one of the tzaddikim within the world of Slonim and Lechovich and Kobrin, named Rav Moshe Midner. His yartzeit's at the end of Mar Cheshvan. He was also a Talmud of Rav Chaim Brisker. Interesting relationship between the world of Brisk and Slonim. And you can see, I wrote for you in the footnote, that they used to say about Rav Moshe Midner, that from Moshe of Midyan, which is Moshe Rabbeinu, to Rav Moshe Midner, right? Mimoshe v'ad Moshe lo kam k'moshe. That's how Chashev he was. They said about Rav Moshe Midner, that from Moshe of Midyan, Moshe Rabbeinu, who ran off to Midyan, to Moshe, Rav Moshe Midner, there were no other Moshes who were of equal stature. Okay, it's pretty Chashev. So a number of years ago, I bought one of these collections of his writings, Gevaldik Torahs. It's called Kisvei Ramam, Kisvei Rav Moshe Midner. So look what he writes in source number 5, and he's quoting from his Rebbe, one of his Rebbeim, Rav Moshe of Kobrin, the Kobriner. B'shem Aran Mikobrin, in source number 5, Perish, explaining this mission on Pirkei Avos. Im tistakel v'tisbonein begimul dvarim elu, if you think about these three things, ozmashe tomer ata, that which you say ata, b'loshu neicheach lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we learned many times in the Avodas Yisrael, we learned this year also in Esh Kodesh, how audacious it is to say the word ata, you, right? Say to God, you. You? Talk in third person. Create a little bit of a buffer zone. Right? If the Rabbono Sholem doesn't mind, if he can send me a little parnasa, can you give me money? You? You wouldn't talk to a chashev or rav like that. I always say, you go to Rav Shechter, you'd say, can I ask the Rosh Yeshiva a question? Can I ask, talk in third person, can I ask Rav Shechter a question? Is it you? Can I ask you a question? So we're not on equal footing with the tzaddik, with the gadol. So therefore, says Rav Moshe of Kobrin, if you think about these three things, then when you say ata to Hashem, lo tia amira zo avera. Let's go back to the Mishnah. What did the Mishnah say? Think about three things, v'ein ata bali de avera. Think about these three things, and when you have the audacity to say ata, it won't be sinful. Right? In other words, the Mishnah is giving us, the Mishnah is revealing to us, with what do we have the chutzpah to say the word ata, to say you to Hashem? So first of all, da me'ayin basa. Right? First of all, think about where you're coming from. What does that mean? Verbistu, mi ata. She'esh l'cha zechiyah lomar lefnei Hashem yizbarach ata. Right? First of all, with humility, at least realize that I should feel, right? Where do I come from? Right? Where do I come from? Where do I come from? What right do I have to say this? At least knowing that, right? Hashem invites me to say it, but I shouldn't get comfortable with it. If Hashem says, oh, you don't have to speak to me so formally. Okay, but from my perspective, I have to be humbled by that. Ula'an ata holech. Ula'an ata holech. Where does your ata go? Okay, just skip over the Yiddish for a second. Brackets. La'an ho'ilecha ata. She'in chamoitzi mipicha. Think about it. Where is my ata going? Do I realize where my ata is going? Do I realize who I'm saying ata to? V'lefnei mi ata asid litein din v'cheshbon? Ratzalomar kodem shetomar ata. Before you say the word you, tzarech lizbonim v'lasos din v'cheshbon. What's a kaviv in mahalalo hinting to us in this Mishnah? Realize who I am. And realize I don't really have a right to say ata. And therefore realize, la'an ata holech, lefnei mi ata, asid litein din v'cheshbon. Realize, make a din v'cheshbon. Be'ezek koach yicholim lomer ata. How dare I say the word ata to Hashem, b'li dechilu urechimu, chas v'shalom. Without yiras Hashem and avas Hashem. Right? So yes, we have permission to say it, but do you ever think about it? Do you realize what we're saying? Do you realize how powerful that is? Do you realize how awesome that is? Right? Do you realize that if I can't do anything else other than just to say those words, that's an awesome experience? And it should light up my life? There's actually a little bit of a machlokas when the yartzeit of the Piyazetz and the Rebbe is. Right? Most people assume it's the 4th of Cheshvan, which was yesterday. There are some who say it was really on the 5th of Cheshvan, which is today. So I said, how can we not learn something from the Eish Kodesh today? So go back to source number 3. This is from his Sefer Derech HaMelech. The Derech HaMelech was the writings of the Rebbe that were already written before the war. This is from the year Tafresh Sadi, which is the year 1930. So he quotes from our Rebbe, right? Our Rebbe the Avodas Yisrael, the Kuznetzer Magid in the first line. He says, Isa b'sifrei kvod kedushas aduni avi mayri b'shem zakeini. I heard my father brings in the name of the Kuznetzer Magid. Hamashal shemisha nifza b'melchama v'raglo. Imagine a person's on a battlefield and he's nifza b'melchama. He's wounded. He's wounded during the war. He's wounded in his leg. Lo yamod ata harbe lachavoshas raglo. So the Kuznetzer Magid said, what do you do if you get injured on the battlefield? Right? Do you turn to the enemies and say, ooh, you just shot me in the leg. Time out. Hold on, I gotta bandage this up. Let's take a time out. Stop the war for a few minutes. Give me a couple of minutes to treat my wounds. Lo yamud ata harbe lachvoshes. You can't stand around for a long time to patch up your leg. Ki yaku chas v'shalom od yifatze b'rosho. Because you get shot in the head. Right? It's hard to move right now. What choice do you have? If you stay where you are, you're a dead man. You need to run. I can't run. My leg is in, so hop. Figure out how to get out of there. A Jew needs to figure out how to move forward. Ube beis Aaron, in the Sefer beis Aaron, Isa. She'achashbonos, she'tzarech adam lachshov badaito, es matzavo hanomuch begashmiyuso, al yachshov tamid rak lefamim. When a person thinks about how difficult his situation is, how lowly his gashmiya situation is, how much he's struggling. Don't think about these things all the time. Because when you stop to think, the Yetzirah can catch up to you. Jews got to be on the move. On the move means on the move with holy things. Stay busy with good things. You spend all this time thinking about what I should have done, what I could have done. Meanwhile, the Yetzirah catches up to you and puts a bullet through your head. A Yid has to keep moving. So the Beis Aharon says, the cheshbonos that a Jew needs to make about his lowly state in this world, sometimes he needs to stop and try to figure out how to make it better. But you got to be careful. Because if you spend too much time thinking about how everything's not working out for you, you get stuck in that. Fifth line, Hainu kanisko la'el, kadesh shelo yishaer tamid b'shifuso. You don't want to always be in that lowly place. You got to move on. Vitzarech, listen to these words from our Rebbe. Vitzarech ish ha'yisrael. Lachshov eich she'ani nimtza mikol makom ani Yisrael. A Jew needs to say, whatever I've gone through, wherever I find myself, if there's one thing they can't take away from me, it's the fact that I'm a Yid. You can't erase that. You can kill me and I'm still a Yid. You can't take away the fact that I'm a Yisrael. V'Hashem Yisbarach, why do they pick this piece? Look at the next words. V'Hashem Yisbarach zakeni lomer lefanav baruch ata Hashem. A Yid always has the right to say Baruch Ata. Do we change the Nusach of the Bracha? Do Tzaddikim have the right to say Ata? But like, if you know you did a big Avera, you know, yesterday, so now today I can't say Ata. I have to be more formal with God. I have to take out the word Ata. I can't say you to Hashem. Because I've lost my right to talk so directly to Hashem. Do we believe that? We don't say that. So the fact that wherever I am, whatever situation I'm in, I always have the right. After doing the biggest Avera, I could have just murdered someone. And I go to take a drink of water. Yeah. Baruch Ata Hashem. You. So we're so close. So why are you doing so many averas in my presence if we're so close, if I'm right here? But wherever a Jew is in the world, he has the right to say. I'm zoichet to say Baruch Ata Hashem. What a schus that is. V'derech kol amaseichem nifratz. Lefnei pirt salamod noichach Hashem. And I could break through any barrier, any divider, to stand in the presence of Hashem, v'lomar lefanav yisbarach baruch atah Hashem. And that experience, being mindful of that experience, is the greatest thing in the world. So Rabbi Nachman is begging us, realize what you're saying. Realize what you're saying. Forget how each bracha of Shemona Esrei is asking for a different thing that we all desperately need. Just think about the framework of every bracha, the common denominator, the baruch atah Hashem. Think about what that is. You should be able to meditate on that for hours. Rav Shlomo Freifeld once told this story. He said, there was a Yid who came to the Divrei Chaim of Sanz. In the Sanz Rav. And he heard big things about the Divrei Chaim of Sanz, so he comes to the Beis Medrash in Sanz. This person was also a Chashav Tam Chacham. He comes early in the morning. He gets to the Beis Medrash, and he sees this one older gentleman sitting like sort of in the front, off to the side, smoking a pipe. Only this like a long pipe. this guy comes early, puts on his talis and tefillin, he sits down to learn. He's learning a sugya before davening. Right, he's got coffee, he's learning a sugya. He's sitting and learning for an hour. People start to come to the shul. Right, he's waiting for the rabbi to show up. He's looking around. People come in, they start to daven. This guy davens, a stark davening. He leaves the base medrash, goes, gets himself a little, Danish, something for breakfast, comes back to the base medrash. He's sitting and learning. Right? This guy, this whole time, he sees in the corner, this guy's still sitting there with his pipe. He's puffing on his pipe. From the time he was there before davening, the guy said half a tehillim. He learned for an hour. He davened with a minion. He went to get breakfast. He came back. He's learning again. Finally, he turns to somebody. He's like, when can I see the Divrei Chaim? So he's like, oh, that yin in the corner puffing on the pipe is the Divrei Chaim. That's the Divrei Chaim? I've been here for 5 hours already. He's been sitting there smoking a pipe the whole time. That's the tzaddik? Finally, after many hours, Divrei Chaim finally starts to, take out his talis, puts on his tefillin. He's sitting there puffing the pipe for hours. So afterwards, he asked, I want to meet this great rabbi, and I'm a little confused by his behaviors. So he gets a yechidus with the Divrei Chaim. So he says, Rabbi, I've heard wonderful things about you. He introduces himself, he tells him about himself a little bit. He says, I know it's chutzpah to ask, but I've never met you before, and I've only heard how the Divrei Chaim is such a chash of a person, and such a great... He said, I have to just ask, I'm a little confused. I came here, I don't know if you noticed me, I was here 5:30 this morning, and from the time I got here until about 1 in the afternoon, you were just sitting in the corner puffing your pipe. You didn't daven with the minion. I didn't see you learn before daven. What were you doing? So Divrei Chaim says, I woke up this morning, and I said, Moda'ani lefanecha. And he says, when I said, Moda'ani lefanecha this morning, the words hit me in such a way that I felt frozen in place, because I started to think, Moda'ani. Who am I? Who am I? I'm basar of Adam. I'm flesh and blood. I'm here today. I'm going tomorrow. Adam yisodom me'afar v'sofa l'afar. I come from the dirt. I'm going back to the dirt. And then I said, lifanecha. Moda ani lifanecha. I started thinking, who are you? I started picturing, who is Hashem? And when I started to realize how lowly I am and how lofty you are, Hashem, he said, I couldn't make a move. I couldn't bring myself to do anything. I just sat in the corner, smoking my pipe, trying to gather myself. For hours, I felt the awe of that realization of Moda Ani Lefanecha. I couldn't go weiter. I couldn't do anything else. I couldn't learn. I couldn't daven. I couldn't do anything. I had to gather the confidence to be able to open my mouth before the Creator, to have the audacity that I should be Zocha to learn His Torah. He said, I was frozen in place. I couldn't do anything. Right? He realized the Vechaim is a big tzaddik. That's a person who's what? Who's ba'el ateva. He understands. To say a word of Torah is a huge schus. To daven a word of tefillah, it should be totally overwhelming. Right? So the goal is not to be totally overwhelmed. We're not such tzaddikim that we're going to be frozen in place like a Divrei Chaim at the realization of that. But at least realize what we're saying. At least treat your Gemara with a little respect. Have the decency to have the respect when you're sitting in front of the Gemara to be in awe of the words on the page in front of you. To take it seriously, to treat it with the respect that it deserves. Okay, so that's the Atta. So Rabbi Nachman told people, you don't need Kavanas Arizal. You don't need to understand secrets of Kabbalah. You need to just pay attention to the words that are coming out of your mouth. Okay, let's go back to the page one. Third paragraph. Vayimislotzeitz ma'od me'od me'osana omrim she'ein tzvichan la'achriach atzmo li'tvila. Rabbi Nachman was critical of those people. Right? He would poke fun at those who said, yeah, you don't need to work so hard with davening. Just say the words. So what are you talking about? You think that's davening? You think mumbling through the words, not even knowing what you're saying? Can't even remember if you davened this morning? That's how fast you were going. That's davening? No. A person needs to use his strength to enter into the words of tefillah. Now, so we say, Rabbeinu, but what about the fact that my mind is all over the place? Rabbi Nachman, I need some more advice. Okay? So he says, don't worry, I have a lot more advice for you. What about the machshavos zaros, the foreign thoughts that creep into my mind when I'm davening? Rabbi Nachman said, don't waste any time with them. Just plow past them. Rakia says, Shalom yispalo kadarko. Va'al yashkiach klal al shum bilbul. Right? Again, like the Piazesta Rebbe told us, if you get injured on the battlefield, keep moving. Don't stand there waiting to get more injured. Go weiter. Rabbi Nachman said, don't worry about it. Just push through them. Don't get stuck on them. Don't start thinking, oh, why am I thinking this during davening? It's so bad that I'm thinking this during davening. Don't waste time with it. Ignore it. Laugh at it and move on. Dig deeper into the sitter and just go weiter. Furthermore, next paragraph. Gamama Rabbeinu Zal. Rabbi Nachman further told us. Shi'i efshar lispal kol atfila b'kavana karaoi. Rabbi Nachman said, don't be frustrated by the fact. You know one of the reasons we don't daven with kavana? We don't daven with energy? It's because absurdly, I can't daven from beginning to end with energy. So Rabbi Nachman told people, that's okay. What about picking a little part of the davening that you're going to say with energy? You don't know how to daven the whole tefillah with kavana? Kavana here meaning energy, right, that we're describing here. Rakol echad ve'echad einu mispal kim ksas mi ha'tefillah v'kavana. Every person has his chelak in tefillah. That on that particular day, at that particular time, he's davening with kavana. Either just because it just happens, he connects to it for whatever reason, unbeknownst to him. Or maybe it's an area of tefillah that he's making a conscious effort to say with a little more oomph. Kanira bechush, as we see with our own eyes, with our own senses. She'echar omer ketoyres bekavana. Yeah, people are very into saying ketoyres, a segula for parnasa. Ve'echar omer psukit zimra bekavana. Right? You have a guy who's very into psukit zimra. Right? There's that guy who always screams out, you know, a certain line in Ashra, he always says it very loudly. Right? Why does he do that? What's his connection to it? I don't know. But it's okay, says Rabbi Nachman. Pick something to work on. Pick a line that you're gonna challenge yourself to pay attention to what you're saying and to say it with energy. Vereisi b'ksavav Torah alza. Says Rabbi Nassan, I saw in the writings of Rabbi Nachman, I saw in his writings of Torah about this, but I was not zocha to write it down. I didn't have a chance to copy it over. Some of the writings of Rabbi Nachman were zocha to come to the world, others were not. Uksas mashani zocha misham, the little bit that I remember from there, hushazeh b'chinas madi'isa b'tikunim, this idea is what we find in the Tikkunei Zohar, de'is mare di'yodin, ve'is mare di'raglin. There are masters of hands and masters of feet. What does that mean? Zebachina sanal. It's what we explained above. Shekol echad misorer v'zocha lispal b'kavana. Chelek me'atfila kafi b'chinaso. That each person davens a different part. There are people who are strong in their legs. There are people who are strong in their hands. There are people who are strong in ketores. There are people who are strong in karbanos. There are people who are strong in shemona esrei. There are people who are strong in shema. There are people who are strong in pesukei dezimra. There are people who pay attention when they say tachnun. There are people who are like Aleinu, right? There's masters of hands and masters of feet. There's different parts of the body. Shmona Esrei, there's different parts of a tefillah, right? Corresponding to different limbs of a person. And we all have to figure out what is our chelek within davening, to start. Al kein, al yipo, lev, adam, b'roso, shezocha, lispal, ktsas, v'kavana. Eiz a chelek mea tefillah. Don't be frustrated. Don't be down on yourself. If you find that you're able to daven a little part of the davening with good kavana, upisom nifsak ve'ena yachal od lispal karoy b'shum ofen. Right? You started off your davening and you were paying attention. Right? You said on alam, amatovu. And then all of a sudden, right, the rest of the davening you're spacing out. You can't seem to muster the energy. Don't feel bad, says Rabbi Nachman. Right? It has to be that way. That's just how it is. V'yishtada lispal shar tfila b'pshitas gamor. There's nothing wrong with just what? Just saying the tefillah with a certain pashtus. Until you find more strength. Until you understand a little better. And then he writes in the second to last paragraph on the page, Va'afilu im lif'amim hu miyageya atzmo ve'ina yachul lispal klal. What about those times or what where you just, I can't get into any of the daven. But I want to daven because I'm a yid. Afal pichen al yipo b'daitu mizek klal. Don't allow yourself to become, again, don't get stuck. Don't be down on yourself. Kizeh klal gadol, where it's bolded, sha'asr lipo b'daito b'shum ofen. This is one of Rabbi Nachman's greatest rules, not only in davening, but in everything. Ein shum yeyosh b'olam klal, there's nothing to be depressed about. Don't allow yourself to feel down. Afilu im yavur alav ma. Whatever comes your way, whatever happens. Afilu meinu yachol ispal klal. Even if you feel I can't get any real davening to go. Right? How many days in a row am I going to go to shul and just say the words and not feel anything? Look at this advice. This is amazing advice. Force yourself nonetheless. Lidaber dibure tefila bepshitas gamor. Say the words with utter simplicity. And I love how he says it. Kamo tino bebeis hasefer mamish. Read the words like a person who is learning how to read Hebrew. Like when I sit with my son and he does his Kriya homework, he's in first grade, right, and he's working out the words and he has to pay attention to each letter and each nekuda to be able to say the word properly. So put your head into the sitter. Instead of reciting Shemona Esrei by heart, because you know it by heart, read it. Read it like a first grader trying to, like a kindergartner or a first grader who's learning how to read the words. And just say it. Just focus on the words and say it word by word. Vayomar kach kama v'kama diburim b'pshitas gamor. And just say word after word with utter simplicity. Val pi arov yizke b'racham av yisbarach lis'or mizeh. And you'll see, by the way, says Rabbi Nachman, sometimes when a person does this, he awakens within himself and there's something so sweet about being so pasha. There's something so uplifting about being so simple. Right? Say the Shemona Esrei with actually reading it. Say Aleinu with actually reading it from a sitter. And just say it as if you're learning how to read the words. It's a beautiful feeling. Achiyachzer v'yislahev libo. It'll bring you back with a hislavus, ma'od. V'yaschil pisom l'ispal bis'oris. And you'll feel that there's something so connected about that utter simplicity. Rak shalo yamid zos l'nisayon. But don't make a nisayon out of it. Don't make trouble out of it. Right? Again, like the P.S.S. Rebbe told us, that mashal from the Kajet Sermage, if you get injured on the battlefield, keep going. Spend half the time feeling bad for yourself that I'm not davening my best one essay. I don't have the energy right now. So just read the words with the pashtas. And every time you come to an ata, just think for half a second, baruch ata. Moda ani lefanecha. Who am I and who are you? And it's an amazing way for a Jew to reconnect to davening when it's not so easy sometimes. Yeah, Ashi, you wanted to say something.
Yeah, remind me of the finisher earlier last week. I think the Lashon was like, "Kilu Malka Yilcha."
That's right.
To doubt and the focus is sure of Yala writes some of the focus to consider. That sometimes we think that the fields of Lala Kavana, those are accepted, but the ones that kind of like Davin, that's not accepted. They said it's the opposite. Because if I think, oh, I had such a great Davin, it's something I don't know about that. Like, you're thinking is so great, but when I just try my hardest and just say the word simply.
Wow.
But also, Chayim Maharan in Tav Lamed Aleph, Miachman says that with Chavim Tzurkim Lamedim, sometimes you can't force yourself. He's saying here you have to force yourself. But the other side, sometimes Rabbeinu says, you can't force yourself. Just kind of, you talk about sleeping, then he brings it into everything. Like, sometimes you just have to wait for it to happen. Eventually, you just do it, eventually it just happens.
Right. Right. So you're saying, maybe that's part of what he's saying here. There's a time to force it, and there's a time to be patient with it. Again, the extreme of the patience is sitting puffing the pipe for 5 hours like the Devar Chaim in the corner, waiting until you're ready to daven. And but for regular people like ourselves, we don't know how to get ready to this. We have to just daven. But Ashi's saying, Rabbi Nachman's saying, if you just do it with a pshitos, right, so then eventually, and you have patience, eventually it'll be misorer on its own. Right? But don't make it into a nisayon, he says. Don't make trouble with it. Okay, bottom paragraph. Rabbi Nachman says the truth of the matter is, to the degree that we realize our pechisus, our lowliness, we should realize what? We should realize that tefila, again, the schus of saying baruch ata, it's chutzpahdik. To talk directly to Hashem, ki tefila gavoa ma'od ma'od. Tefila is a very, very high thing. The gavoa yoser mi lima Torah. Rabbi Nachman says tefila is even higher than lima Torah. Right? Lima Torah is Hashem talking to us. Tefila is us talking to Hashem. Right? It's one thing to stand in the presence of the King and to listen. That's what Torah is. Torah is Hashem communicating with us. Tefila is I have the audacity to talk back. To tell him what I need? Almost as if he doesn't know? Right? Where does a Jew get the strength to think that he could even do such a thing? Alkein alav la'asos eschalo. Yet nonetheless, a Jew has to do what he has to do. La'aschil diburei atfila bepshitas gamar. Yet the obligation upon me is to say, Baruch Atah Hashem. I have to talk to Hashem. I have to. It's my job. So I begin with simplicity, with wholesomeness, with humility. Adon Olam, Asher Malach. And I think about the words in the simplest way, without any fancy kavanas. V'yata azno ma shehu omer. Incline your ear to that which you're saying. V'yitzamtim machshavto ma'od. Try to gather your thoughts. Shelo tispazer machshavto l'chut. That your mind shouldn't be elsewhere. Keep your head in the sitter. V'akshitia kol machshavto besoch diburei tefila. Like again, we learned to enter into the teva, to enter into the words. V'yispal l'kach beseder pshitas gamur. Afi b'liyas oiris. Turn the page. And daven this way, even if it seems boring and it seems plain and it seems a little bit lifeless, but it's wholesome and it's simple and it's pure. And like Ashi said, sometimes those tefillos are the ones that are answered. Just do this, word after word, page after page, until Hashem helps you, barachav avlis oris, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu has compassion on you and decides to awaken that feeling of connectivity. Let's look at source 6 and 7 for a second. There was a very chashuv yid, one of the great mekubalim of our generation, a very mysterious yid, by the name of Rav Elia Weintraub, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. He passed away a little over 10 years ago. And we have some of his svarim, very deep, wondrous svarim. One of them is called Einei Yisrael. So he has a mimer in that sefer that I thought would help us to understand a little bit this you know, paradox of, on the one hand, I'm so close to Hashem that I can say Atah. And on the other hand, like Rabbi Nachman just said, what were the words? Mehechan yizcha lavod gevoa kazu. With what right do I have a right to daven? I think about my lowliness. I think about the tefillah is what? Gevoa ma'od ma'od. And it's gevoa yoyser milima Torah. So I should be more scared to pick up a sitter than to pick up a Gemara Makos. So with what right do I approach Hashem? To say it differently, am I very close to Hashem or am I very far from Hashem? And you can see the title of this mimer in source number 6 is what? Sefer Einei Yisrael of Elia Weintraub, Zatzal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu karuv mikol v'rachuk mikol. Hashem is closer than all and farther than all. Let's see how he explains it. He explains it just a couple of words. We'll see it in a very nice way. B'shir ha'yichud shechiber kadmon Reb Shmuel aviv shel Yehuda Chassid. There's something called the Shir ha'yichud. Maybe you said it on Yom Kippur. Maybe you said it in your shul. Or maybe what? Maybe you flip through it in your machzer. No one says the Shir ha'yichud. But we should. If you say the Shir ha'yichud, some places do say it. Of course they do. So this tefillah, the Shir ha'yichud that some recite on the night of Yom Kippur, written by Rabbeinu Shmuel, the father of Yehuda HaChassid. It says there, and again, each day, the Shir Yichud is, you say, a special tefillah for corresponding to the day of the day of the week. So in the Shir Liyom HaShlishi, it says the following: Uvaheyos Hakol Atabakol Ve'ein Makom Dak Mimcha Nechdal. Uvaheyos Hakol Atabakol. What does that mean? Klomar Shegam Beheyos Hakol. That even though you made a mitzias of hakol, you made everything, Hashem. You made this shender that I'm standing at. You made the slice of pizza that someone's prepping in Como across the street. Right? You're responsible, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the pavement outside, for the clouds in the sky, for the bird that just flew by. You're responsible for 7.5 billion beating hearts. You created it all. Uveyos hakol. You've created everything. Shemayim v'aretz v'chol tzva'am v'chol ha'olamos kulam. Even though you made all of it, and it seems like there's a lot of it, a lot of stuff. Uveyos hakol, despite all of this, ata bakol, you are found within all. Lo istalek me'am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem is within everything. Hashem, in a sense, I say this cautiously, is everything. That chair is absolutely connected 1,000,000% to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not separated. It's not independent. It doesn't exist. The Creator, whoever made it, is somewhere beyond. Hashem is present within everything. So uveyos hakol, even though there is everything, atabakol, Ela shehu nimtza b'chol makom. You're within everything. Ve'ein makom dak shenechdal m'mitziuso yisbach. And there is no makom dak. There's no fine place. There's no small place. There's no crack or crevice that's not filled with godliness. That Hashem is nechdal. That Hashem is withdrawn from. That Hashem is not present. That Hashem is removed from. Ve'nimtza HaKadosh Baruch Hu karov mikol karov. And therefore Hashem is closer than any type of closeness. Hashem is closer, right, to us than we are, than my skin is to my bones. Hashem fills everything. It's the ultimate closeness. Du nimtza bakol mamish. Hashem is within everything mamish. Right? So we talk about, I feel close to God, I feel far from God. There's no such thing. There's no such thing. Hashem is as close can be. Now, what's the flip side? The flip side is what Rabbi Nachman just told us. The tefillah is gvoa ma'od ma'od. Tefillah is so far away. It's so high. It's so lofty. Right? So beyond. So says Rav Elia Weintraub in the second paragraph. V'yinei me'idach gisa, on the other side. Yesh mikros mefurashim. There are many psukim, hamoyrim, that teach us or describe to us. She'akadosh baruch hu machon shifto b'shmei hashamayim. We have psukim that say that what? That Hashem dwells where? In the heavens of heavens, the highest heavens, so far beyond places I can't even picture, I've never been to. Right? Like Rabbi Nachman just described tefillah as gavoa ma'od ma'od, beyond and beyond. Right? Rachuk me'itanu ma'od. So asks from Elia Weintraub in the last line on page 3, very simple question. Eich miskaimim beiz ha'inyanim ke'echad. So which is it? Is Hashem the closest of the close? Or is Hashem the farthest of the far? No? Deep question. Right? Do I have a right to say, Ata, you, because Hashem is so here, is so present? Or do I live my life feeling unworthy, sitting there smoking the pipe in the corner because I'm too nervous to open my mouth to converse with the Creator? So turn to the last page. So it says, Elia Weintraub, and again, it's a long essay, it's a long maimon. I just gave you a tiny little piece. He says we have to understand that there's two different points of contact. Right? There's two ways that we experience reality or understand reality. There's the truth of the matter, right, as understood properly. And then there's a dimyon, there's a perception of things. And he says that's the answer. Right? For someone who could give us could write a whole sefer on this question, Elia Weintraub in one paragraph says, I'll make it very simple for you. There's seichel and there's dimyon. There's seichel, there's knowing what is, and then there's dimyon, there's the way that things appear to be. In seichel, he says, when I'm thinking straight, when I'm able to distinguish between emes and sheker, when I know the truth of the matter, right, what my mind tells me, what the tzaddikim have explained to me, I know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is unbelievably close as close can be. But in the realm of Dimyon, he writes in the third line on that last page, but the koch of Dimyon, it seems the opposite. I don't have the ability to grasp it. I don't have the ability. I've never seen God. I can't touch God. I don't hear Hashem responding to me. And therefore, in the world of Dimyon, unfortunately, if I'm not cautious, I start to perceive Hashem as what? As being very, very far away. But Rabbi Nachman is teaching us that while on the one hand there is that feeling, he's acknowledging that feeling, right? Who am I to daven? What right do I have to daven? How can I open my mouth to talk to Hashem? Rabbi Nachman at the same time is the one who's pushing us to what? To be present. Don't space out. Maybe we're spacing out because there's like this cognitive dissonance that exists between us and davening. There's a part of me that feels like nervous to daven, unworthy to daven. So I do it, but like I can't really think about it so much because if I think I'm standing before the king, then I'll be too embarrassed to even be here. I'll run away. So Rabbi Nachman is acknowledging, on the one hand, again, that feeling of being overwhelmed, of being afraid, of not feeling worthy, and at the same time, what is chus? To encourage myself to realize it's a chus that is a chiyuv, it's incumbent upon me. I have to talk to Hashem. And don't be frustrated by the fact that what? That it feels like, again, it's a one-way street. Look at the last source. Rav Mordechai of Nishchiz. Rav Mordechai of Nishchiz was a Talmud of the Magid of Zlotchev. Rav Michal Zlotchever lived in the 1700s. There's a little sefer called Rishpei Eish. So he has a beautiful pshat. You'll never forget. Hashem es koili tachanunai. Ahavti, I love the fact that Hashem listens to the voice of my supplication. Ki hita ozno li. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inclines his ear towards me. Says of Mordechai ibn Nishchiz, Chusi again aleinu. Lo mashen nasa ritzoni. It doesn't say, David Melch doesn't say, I love that God does what I ask. I love that God answers my tefillos. However, we're sometimes so busy worrying about getting the answer to our tefillos that we fail to realize the fact that I need to believe, again, in Dimyon I sometimes don't feel it. But the truth of the matter is that when a Jew opens his mouth, Hashem is absolutely listening. Full undivided attention. Hashem is locked in with you. So David HaMelech says, Ahavti, I love the fact that Hashem is what? What does David HaMelech say? Ki yishma Hashem es kol yitachanunai. I love that Hashem listens to my voice. It doesn't say, mashenasa ritzoni. It doesn't say, I love that God, what? That God does what I ask. V'lo shum davar hanashali mimasha shama Hashem tfilasi, rak b'masha hito ozneili. The hana that I get from davening is not what I get in response to my prayers. But the hana that I get is nothing more than the fact that Hashem is what? That Hashem is listening to my voice. Rak b'masha hito ozneili, melech gadol v'nora lishmoa tfilas hashafel. That the master of the universe wants to listen to a nobody like me. I shouldn't care what happens after that. My tefillah gets answered. It doesn't get answered. If I really understood the schus of being obed lefnei ha-melech, then I would feel so fortunate, regardless of what happens. And I would have the trust, I would have the amunah to realize that if Hashem wants to answer the tefillah because it's the right thing to grant my request, He'll do it. And if not, not. But the goal is the connection. The goal is the relationship. Think about the bracha that we say. I saw on a sefer once. It says what? Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefila. It's a very weird bracha, no? Shema Koleinu, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, listen to my voice, Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefila. So what do I don't understand, what do I get out of that? Shomea Tefila. Right? When I say Hashem is the one who provides refuah, that's good. Hashem is the one who provides the wisdom, that's good. Hashem is Mevarech HaShanim, Gevaldik. Hashem is the one who, all the brachos are what Hashem does. Shomea Tefila, He listens. And the answer is yes. Yes. It's not Baruch Atah Hashem that Hashem responds and grants my requests. Baruch Atah Hashem Shomea Tefila. Thank you, Hashem, for giving me your ear, Kiviyachol, for listening to me. Yeah, John.
He says that he's like a lot of people say that, God didn't answer my prayer.
Right.
It's not that He didn't answer it. He did. He just said no.
Right.
And it's just not the best thing to do at that time.
That's correct.
And if it wasn't.
And the fact that He gave you an audience is something to celebrate, right? Trust that if Hashem says no, there's a reason Hashem says no. Right? But again, so then it wasn't, so why did I bother to ask? Because you had the opportunity to talk to Hashem. That's an awesome schus. The Zohar and the Sefer Kabbalah describe what an angel, what a malach has to go through before he can stand before Hashem and sing Shira. And we can do whatever we want. We could sing a song to God right now. We could recite a tefillah to Hashem right now. In the words of David Melech, in our own words, right? What an opportunity, and don't think that that's a nothing. So on the one hand, Rabbi Nachman is saying it should be very intimidating to us if we're thinking about what it actually is. At the same time, we got to do what we got to do. A yid's got to do what a yid's got to do. Yeah? Want to say something?
I mean, you kind of answered it. But I was kind of like just baffled that we would even consider that tefillah would be too lofty for us. Because what's the point of tefillah for us to connect God too lofty for us? So, like, how can you say that
feels lofty? Right. So that's where Revelio Weintraub is teaching us. Hashem is farther than anything we could imagine and closer than anything we can imagine. And a Jew has to force himself when he davens to overcome that fear of Hashem is too big, Hashem is too busy, Hashem is too great, and I'm too unworthy. And to stand before Hashem and to talk to Hashem. Okay, Chava, let's finish up the piece. Go back to page 2. Let's finish up the words of Rabbi Nachman. V'im lif'amim, in the second little paragraph. V'im lif'amim eino zocha b'chol ha'tfilo l'soris. Ma lasos? If a person feels, I wasn't able to capture this davening. Im yizka yuchel ha'dabar achar kach, eizek ha'pitol tehillam ha'bakasha u'techina acheres b'kavana. Let's say you finish davening, you're like, wow, that whole davening, I didn't, not one bit of it did I pay attention. So Rabbi Nachman says, so keep davening. Say a little tefillah, say a kapitol tehillam. You feel bad that you didn't put any energy into that? It's not too late. Open up a Tehillim and say Tehillim. Right now, after Shir, if you daven this morning, and you're after learning this piece, you're like, I didn't really daven this morning. So go into the base medrash, pick up a sitter, and say a parak of Tillim with Koach. It's a gavaldic thing. It's never too late. Haklal, the bottom line is, Sha'odam tzarech la'achriach atzmo b'chol kochos l'chol advarim shebekedusha. Ma'od, beprat v'tfila. Rabbi Nachman says, this is really, again, not just something for tefillah, it's for all matters of Kedusha. Be the type of person who pushes himself to want to engage in Kedusha, especially in davening. Don't run away from it. Don't run away from it. And if you feel like it's not going, don't run away from it. If you were in Shir on Thursday, you didn't understand the Shir. So the thing to do is not to miss Shir the next day. Come back the next day. Come back for more. Right? And keep pushing. Keep challenging yourself. Also, lo lipo b'dayto klal. Don't be depressed. B'chazik as asmo v'yichy as asmo b'kol ma de'efshar. Do whatever it takes to energize yourself. V'yizar ma'od l'ispal b'simcha. U'lahargal atzo sh'yat tefila b'nigun shal simcha. Learn how to sing the davening. You don't have to, if the shul sings, great. If not, so sing to yourself. V'yira l'sameach as asmo kodem ha'tefila. Put yourself in a good mood before you start to daven. L'chayos as asmo b'kol ma de'efshar. Whatever it takes to wake yourself up in the morning, right? To get yourself in a positive mindset. Ulachap is limso ba'atwa ezen akuta tova. Say something good about yourself. Think something positive about yourself. Kede lizko is lesimcha shiucha lispal besimcha. So that you can be, again, aroused to daven with joy. Ukvar mavur mizeb amaymer azamer lelokai ba'odi. We mentioned it the other day. Rabbi Nachman's teaching about azamer lelokai ba'odi, to sing to Hashem from whatever little bit ba'od, whatever little bit that I have within myself. Regarding this inyan of tefila, there's much, much more to say. Says Rabbi Nelson, I'm just giving you pieces from what I heard from Rabbi Nachman. Again, there's so much more to say. A person who wants to understand this well will seek out ways, techniques, advice to fulfill all of these ideas. And then he writes, Rabbi Nachman had a few other teachings about this. And then he writes, just in conclusion, where it's bolded. He says, he concludes the piece, he says, the bottom line is, Sha'ikar hu ha'emes. The main thing is truthfulness. What does that mean? Kishimabalbulin as ha'odim b'tfilaso, uva'avodaso ma'od ma'od, b'kama mine bilbulim. When a person is living in a mabul, right? Again, Parshas Noach. When a person is in a world of bilbulim, when you're very distracted, and you're trying to figure out already your summer plans, your summer internship, even though it's only October. Right? And you're trying to figure out, what type of person do I want to marry? And you're trying to figure out, where do I want to live? Should I make aliyah? Is it realistic? And you're trying to figure out, what profession should I go into? And you're trying to work out a roommate situation. Right? And you got locked out of your apartment. Or you got a ticket and now you have to go and figure out what to do about that. And their whole life is one big bilbul and more bilbulim and more bilbulim. Says Rabbi Nachman, ha'ikar hu ha'emes. Sheyira b'tfilaso, ledaber al koponim dibur be'emes b'pshitos be'ez madrega shu. The question is a question of emes. Am I an emistic person? An emistic means that the words that I'm saying are true. Do I connect to the words that I'm saying? Is it coming from a place of emes? Is the emes of my life that I need to daven and I need to learn? Or is that something that's negotiable when life gets busy so then it gets pushed to the side? Is it emes to me? Is it real? If it's real, then I'll find the way to do it. Even if it hurts, even if I'm not so deeply connected, I'll do it with simplicity, I'll do it with humility. And in this way, you'll be zocha to tefillah. If you fulfill this, all be'emes. And lastly, the final line, I heard that which a person makes movements during davening, he moves his hands, tenuas yadayim, right? A person's moving their hands during davening, a person's chuckling during davening. Zebachinas v'yadoi kosvan rozin. This is what it says in the Tikkuni Zohar, that there are hands that write secrets. In other words, the movements of the hands, who knows, you're like the conductor. When you move your hands during davening, when you're chuckling during davening, right? That's also, it's making things happen. Things are happening. Right? Like we said before, there are masters of the feet, there are masters of the hands. Each person in their own way, we have to realize when we're standing before the Creator, every move that we make is significant. And Hashem is shomea tefillah. Hashem is paying attention to our body language. Hashem is paying attention to the words that are coming out of our mouth. And therefore, in conclusion, it's incumbent upon us to do the same thing. To pay attention to the words you're saying. sit in front of the sitter, right? Or hold the sitter in your hands with awe, with trepidation, with excitement. When you open up your Gemara, do so with a deep respect for the words on the page and enter into those words. Enter into the Teva, right? Enter into the Tevas of Torah and Tefillah. And Eitz Chaim Lemachazikim Ban. Hold on for dear life. Because Mamish, our life depends on the type of embistic connection that we have to Torah and Tefillah. Okay? Ashi, sorry to keep you waiting. You had another comment.
You mentioned about
yeah.
The signs are opposed to things that you should think about.
When you learn a sefer that tells you that you're great. You learn a sefer from someone who tells you you're great. So then you can come to davening and know that you're great. Beautiful. All right, friends. Hashem should help us to daven real tefillos. Say amen. All right, see? A little bit's also good.